episode of Penny for Your Thoughts with Phoebe Nebechukwu. Has been your day? Today has been quite busy for me, and I
believe the same with others.
The weekend.
And today's
topic is temperament, dealing with type and
traits, its characteristics as well. The characteristics of each temperament type.
Join me as
we analyze each temperament type and discuss its characteristics. In the process, I will talk about my temperament type. I'm also having a co-host this evening that will join the conversation, and she will also share her temperament type.
The first temperament type we'll talk about today is sanguine.
Let me run through all temperament types first of all. We have the sanguine, the choleric, melancholic, and phlegmatic.
The sanguine, they are extremely people-oriented. They are outgoing and extroverted.
They are extremely talkative and social. They are the life of the party. Very active set of beings. Very enthusiastic. They have a wide range of emotions, a wide range of behavior. Like, they hardly commit to anything because they can do almost everything and they never commit to anything. The attention span is usually short-lived. They are extremely competitive. They want to always compete for that prize, everything. They give in their best shot to compete. And they fear a bad impression. They fear the feeling of being rejected. So they always want to put forth an image for everybody to like them and all. Those are the sanguine people. They blend a lot very well. They are, no, you just meet this person for the first time and then they can talk with you for like till the next day. Those are the sanguine people. And some people are super sanguine. They are so overly talkative and active that it can be overwhelming to be around them. Like, before you say 5 words, they have said 100 words and you're like, okay, they're serious. But those are the super sanguine. They are extreme friendly, very, very friendly. You cannot feel left out. They always, you know how to raise up issues and discussions. And I said they hardly commit to anything. That's one of their negative side, their downside, or the disadvantage of being a sanguine, because they cannot commit to anything seriously, and it is very, very wrong. You must find something that you should be able to commit to, you know, personally. Moving forward, we have the choleric. The choleric, this is one of the most uncommon temperament type. They are irritable, they are bossy, they are fast. They can also be analytical and they are very short-tempered. More about the choleric. I said they have the most rarest temperaments. Those set of people are results oriented. They set goals and stick to them. Just look around. Maybe your friend, any person you find that, okay, person has written down some, you know, goals and the person walks to them. Like, they are so driven to succeed. If you are talking when they are walking, it's like, you are just doing, it's like you are pulling life out of their soul. So they are driven to succeed and tend to stay positive with constant forward movement. They are also extroverted. Yeah, you heard me. They exude self-confidence very, very. Their self-confidence is mind-blowing. They are independent and strong-willed. They have quick minds, sharp brains. We classify them as the brainiacs. And they are very active. They're also very active as the sanguine. and they are strong-willed, they are independent. Like, please, don't invade their privacy, don't try it. And they are practical in their activities. They take risks a lot, and they get bored easily. When there's nothing to keep their mind, you know, sharp and everything, and then all of a sudden you are beginning to just divert, they're like, okay, and then they just become bored. They are also domineering. That's one of the words, the downside of being a choleric. They are domineering and opinionated. The way
they have opinions, so you can't come and, you know, impeach on their opinions.
They find it easy to make decisions, not only for themselves but for others. Yes, those kind of people, we call them I2Know. So their brain is so sharp that they have thought about themselves, they have thought about others. They are the brightest. In fact, everybody needs a choleric person in their lives. They can be somewhat controlling in relationships. They tend to require less sleep than other temperaments. They are very creative. They never run out of ideas or plans. They have few close friends, even though they are also very slow to anger. Their domineering personality and direct manner of speaking can be misconstrued as anger. It's true, because, you know, they are usually very blunt people. So you just think that, okay, this they get angry very easily. But no, it's because of their, you know, their diction, their choice of words, and the way they are just so sharp in speaking, their direct manner of, you know, of speaking. So at the in the long run, we misunderstand that to be anger. Okay, this person is actually angry with me, but no, that is just their personality trait. We have our very wonderful melancholy. Melancholy, we'll tag them as the perfectionist. Yeah, they are not necessarily depressed. You know, one of the most common misconceptions about melancholy is that these people, they can be very depressed. In fact, yesterday I was talking with a friend and I said, you know what, melancholy people are always very depressed. Because why? Someone will just choose to be on their own, so introverted, and then all they will do is they will start writing some poems, you know, with some funny ideas, you know, and funny meanings. The next thing, they are thinking they are having suicidal thoughts. Or, you know, the artists that we see, they are usually melancholy. They are not necessarily depressed. Please have that at the back of your mind. They are usually anxious. They worry a lot. I tag them as worry buddies. Come around the melancholy. They will worry too much. They never live in the present. I mean, they are always holding on to past mistakes. I wish I could have done that better. Like, you know, and then sometimes we wonder, okay, why think about the past? A sanguine will just move on from their mistakes so easily. But no, melancholy, they will sit on it. Hey, this thing will not have happened. I would have scored an 80 in my test. I don't even know why it happened, but calm down. But no, they cannot calm down because they are always too anxious. They worry a lot. They are very detailed and quality oriented. They are always after quality. Like I said earlier, they are perfectionists. So they want everything to be done to the details. Like, let me give you an example. My father he has a trait of melancholy. Let my father know yet. So, you know, there are times you sweep the house and you sweep it so well. My father will still come around, he will still be looking until he sees death. But that's just it. That's one of their traits. They love to be perfectionists. They are quality oriented. They are also inquisitive beings. They're always curious. They want to find out more. They want to know more about things. They are factual, very factual. They are logical, you know, they are rational thinkers and analytical. I love their analytical mind. Like, interacting with a melancholy, they leave you mind blown. My people, they rarely live in the present, like I said earlier. It shocked me too, as it shocked you, because they are always thinking about their past mistake, everything. In order for them to function without anxiety, they need to have a solid plan for action and follow it to the latter. Like, those set of people do not leave their house without a to-do list. Like, and they must follow it. If not, they'll feel so like their life is not complete. A melancholy will write, when I wake up 6 a.m., I will brush my teeth, I'll do my quiet time, I'll do this, I'll do that, I'll do that. If they don't stick to that thing, no, their day is not wonderful. Even if it's in the midnight, they will still do that thing. And I have a friend that is a melancholy. I lived with her, and then we used to have issues. So, because it's like you are doing something and you're trying to please this person, and then it's not working. But until later, I got to understand that no, it's just her personality trait. She's a melancholy. She loves perfection and everything. But she cannot expect perfection from someone who is a sanguine. Because me, life is not hard. Let's move on. But then to her, no, that is not what she wants. She wants you to do it. You know, do this thing well. Do it to the core. You know, this scripture of the Bible fits them very well. Whatsoever your hand findeth to do, do it all their might. They are the people that carry that scripture on top of their head. Please clap for them. They can be so courteous and tentative in unfamiliar environments. Like, before they will say one word, they will have observed everybody. Woo! You know, before they will now say hello, hi, they will have observed. You will think that they don't know what they are doing or they are lie. My sister is a melancholy. They will sit down one place. Me, I will have come to a place like they start talking. Chak-chak-chak. But my sister, she will keep quiet. Before we leave, she will have told you everybody's name, everybody's behavior. So those people, they are very, very tentative in unfamiliar environment. Now, let me shock you. You will think that these beautiful introverts are not aggressive. But they are aggressive, oh. Don't try them. Don't try to invade their privacy. Aggressive when faced with an unfavorable situation. When it doesn't favor them, you need to see them. They will argue to the core. Kilo day, this. They are very, very aggressive when the situation is not working in their favor. They are private people. They love their privacy. And I said it to crown it all. They are introverted, as you know. They want their own. They are my me time. They are always me, myself, and I. Yeah. Now, melancholy even have hope. Shall we talk about our beloved Flex? Pierre Flex in the house. Say hello and drop a comment. Now, we love you, especially the sanguine. They love any Flex around them. As long as you can just keep quiet and listen to the sanguine, you know, airing out their minds and, you know, listen to them. We love you. They are very easygoing. Very easy going. They can be shy. I feel like, what kilo day? What's happening? They are always very relaxed. We love that about you. We keep it up. Some of us sanguine, we also want to try our best to camp up. It doesn't work out that way for us. They can also be timid. They want to say, you know, they want to say what's going on in their mind, what's bothering them, but they are afraid. They like to piss somebody off, you know. Sanguine and phlegmatic people share that kind of personality trait. They always don't want to be rejected, so they want to, you know, okay, let me please this other person. Okay, let this thing just go their way. Let it work. These phlegmatic people, if you say melancholy are introverted, you say they are extra introverted. Yes. They are also service oriented. Take note. For the melancholy, they are what? Quality oriented. Choleric, they are results oriented. But these phlegmatic people, they are service oriented. They always want to serve. Yes. And I mean, it is genuine. It's, you know, when we come to our present world, whosoever we see as quiet, we assume that what? We used to say something in Hausa. Shuru mungu ne ai. But it is not in all cases. They are not always shuru mungu. That means they don't always have, you know, something evil at the back of their mind. They are just peaceful. They are just calm. They don't want problems. They are able to bend their rules to achieve a common goal. That's why sanguines love them. Like, we love them so much. They will just, Shebi is peace that will reign. Shebi is going to achieve a common goal.
Those kind of people, we love them in any group work. Any person that would, just give the sanguine. You go and research. Sanguine that can, you know, choleric, that can give out orders. Choleric will just tell you,
take this, work on that article, you do this, do that. The phlegmatics, they will just be doing, yes, ma'am, yes, sir. They will go and attend to everything. They will do the research. We used to use them very well, but it's not good. Please, let's change. Let's consider their personality traits. They are very passive people. They are not active. And this, their passiveness is not good. It leads to their lack of ambition or sense of urgency, even when working with others. Yes. Like, we consider them to be not so smart. Like, we're expecting them, and we know they are brilliant minds. So, okay, say this. No, they will not be quiet. They will not wish that that person will end all wrong now. You should not be so calm. And then we sanguines were like, hello, what's this? Well, you get the point. But we should also try to, you know, accommodate them. And they should also work on that. Being too passive is not always too good. And the moment we now see them airing their views, we are so shocked. Or the moment we see them, you know, getting pissed off, they're like, woohoo. So this set of people can also say something like this. They should not always leave us surprised. So they should try to, you know, air their views often. They are easygoing. I think that's what summarizes their character. They are calm. They are unemotional. They are indecisive. My roommate's in 200 level. Let me tell you something. Small G's though. My roommate's in 200 level. Babe, have you eaten? What will you eat? Okay. I'm always very pissed off. Something as simple as what will you eat? She begin to think, okay, we have eaten rice. It's spaghetti. I'm like, there is Indomie or some. Just do something. No, they are always very indecisive. They are agreeable, yes, as long as peace will reign, go ahead. They allow people to make decisions for them. Is it good? No. Because we don't actually know what's going on in their hearts. And we actually want them to voice out their feelings and their emotions. But no, they want another person to make their decisions for them. They are fiercely loyal to their few friends. They hardly make friends, but the moment they have a friend, I mean, they are committed. Very, very committed to their friends. Very loyal set of people. God bless a phlegmatic. I have a phlegmatic in my life. Like, I've done the worst to this lady, and then she's so, so super nice to me. Like, they are fiercely loyal to their friends. But please, please, let me warn you. Don't try to break their heart. I mean, they won't look back at you again. That relationship is done for. Yes, it is done for. Forget it. You have messed with them in 1.2. No, you have broken a piece. I've taken away a piece of their heart. Yes, those are what happened to them. They are very, very, very soft, you know. So when you break their hearts after trusting you, they'll be like, I trusted you. And all of those things. Yes, because, you know, they know how much commitment they give to that relationship to work out. So
I'll invite my co-host. Remember, I told you earlier from the beginning of my gist that was I have a co-host today of the person of Eunice Ogunlami. So we're going to have a discussion section about our various personality types. She's going to tell us about her personality traits, her own temperament, and how she's been able to work, manage it in relation to others. Eunice, over to you.
Okay, hello. I think I already spoke in the introduction, so you should know who's speaking now. It is Eunice. Yeah, just to say about giving an illustration of my own personality and to give a sort of addition to what has been discussed all this while, and probably also, like I said earlier, so that you'll be able to figure out what place you are and the blend of it, the blend you are actually, to be more self-aware and also to be able to work on them by God's help and have a balance. Yeah, I used to say I didn't like the best friend tag. It was as if I was even always happy about me not having a best friend. But I think somewhere deep inside, maybe because I'm a phlegmatic, yes, I'm with high emotions, maybe somewhere deep inside I really wanted to have one. No, I think my primary school, secondary school, I wasn't really thinking about having a particular best friend. I don't think I ever yearned for it. But now that I look at it, I might have loved to have one. But actually, just as nature would have it, I don't know, because I was always in a group of friends. Primary school, we were like three jolly friends. Secondary school, too, I was in a group of friends. So I never really had a particular best friend. But I'm just realizing that my temperament, of which one quality is indifference, could have probably been the reason why I didn't pay attention to putting a best friend tag on a particular person without me knowing. But also, my male trait now complements it, because as much as I'm indifferent about friendships, as much as I might not be good with checking up on people, I also desire it. There are times when I wish I could talk to someone. There are times when we talk, of course, we are able to easily catch up. There are times when I just want to have random conversations. And then I would just say probably try to avoid the stress that actually comes with having a best friend, in quotes. But I think I love it. Yeah. I was already saying before, I used to say I was melancholic until somebody pointed my attention to that I'm actually more flegged, and I had to check out. I realized I'm more flegged than I am male. And I even thought the combination was going to be a sanguine phlegmatic, but I'm looking at sanguine traits and I don't think I'm seeing anyone that fits or that I best fit into. So I would actually say my combination is a phleg male. And like I said, we all have a blend of the four. So I could have choleric and sanguine attributes that are probably less dominant, but the most dominant one, the primary one, is phlegmatic and the melancholic. Yeah, I'm very emotional, though I try as much as possible to hide my emotions. I stay alone with my thoughts, and I have the tendency for anxiety. The reason why I wouldn't say depression is because I'm always myself when I'm with God. I cry like most of the time when I pray. And so after praying, I feel much better, such that I don't really think I could fall into depression. Because even when I finish praying and then I'm okay or I'm still feeling down, I find something to keep myself busy. I watch movies. I love watching movies, listening to music. Or I'll just step out and talk to people to forget it. So I make sure that I try not to be depressed, so I would say tendency for anxiety. I make compromises, yeah, but I make decisions on myself, so you can hardly talk me out of a decision. If I'm saying this is what I want to do, it is very difficult for you to tell me not to do it. My parents would always say I'm stubborn, and it's an attribute that has been since I was young. Right, with my career choice and all of that, I keep on saying that story over and over again. How my dad forced me, when they tried, they forced me to go to the science class. After a while, I had to tell them I wanted to go to the art class. Now, not because I was bad in science class. They even went to see my school counselor back then, and then it was like I could do well in any of the three classes. But English was what I wanted, and I went for it. My preparator then secondary school, when I later went to get my certificate, saw my result and was like, what are you studying? I'm like, English. I'm like, why didn't you go for a professional course? In my mind, I'm like, hello, I want to do English. So like, I make decisions for myself, and I could be opinionated and strong-willed about it. I can do anything or go anywhere. Somebody else might be scared to go. Like, probably people that don't like going out at night. I'm somebody that can go out at night. There was a day I came back home, I saw the gate open, my house, everywhere was open. There was nobody at home. Normally, caution should have told me to stay back and find out what was going on. But the stubborn me and the big-headed me went inside. I went inside the room. I saw clothes scattered. I still left inside. I still went upstairs. What if the team that came was still in the house?
Oh, my.
So
is
yeah,
that a good trait?
It's boldness, nah.
It's boldness.
But the thing is, I could also be shy. I'm also shy. I could be indifferent about a lot of things, though very emotional as well. I'm thoughtful about friendships that might not be so good with constant reaching out. I could think of you, you could cross my mind, and I'll still not call you.
Oh, you people.
though, like, when I'm prompted to actually call, when I feel the need to call, I do. But, like, normally, just when I'm in my space, I could just think of you, say a word of prayer for you, and not even call or reach out to you. Yeah. I expect perfection from myself. I think that's one melancholic trait. Holding on to past mistakes, so I think I'm always, like, wishing I could rewind and then do things better.
Can you?
Which is impossible. Yeah, I intentionally pray about my temperament, basically. Let me just conclude with that.
That's key. And
that's what this should be actually enjoining you to do eventually. The reason for this podcast: check out what your temperaments are. Look at the blend you have. Like I said earlier too, you might have similarity to somebody else, but there is no two same blends of temperaments. Everyone has, like, no two are exactly the same. There are similarities and differences, but there are no two temperament types or blend that are exactly the same. So when you are with God, you can talk to me about your temperaments. Pray for a temperament that is led and controlled by the Spirit.
Beautiful.
And then if you have someone, your weaknesses for each of your temperaments, pray about it as well. If you have, you are someone that has tendency to be anxious or be depressed, aside from you just like taking the Bible and just remembering promises, you could ask for specific words from God that you can hold on to. You know, there's a different feeling when you are not just reading the word of God or reading the Bible to lay hold on promises, but you know that this is what God told me. Like when you get a particular word that is exactly from God, probably through prophecies, probably through a friend, and then you know that this is God's promise to me personally. Sincerely, when you have that, it helps. You are able to be more strong and less anxious. So whatever temperament it is you are, if you are sanguine and then it's difficult for you to pay attention, you have a short attention span, then you know you have to work on it.
Yes, with the help of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah, so work on your temperament, and then the Holy Spirit will help you.
Thank you very much. We're so appreciative of you, Eunice Ogunlami, for, you know, encouraging us and talking to us about our temperament types. And then I love something about her discussion. She said, you know, all our temperament traits can be what? Tamed by the help of the word, the Holy Spirit. So whatever be your temperament type, take it to God in prayers. You know, for the sanguine, okay, God, I can't even remember some things. I hardly commit to anything. And you're really scared about the future. Will I be able to commit to, you know, to my spouse? Will my marriage last? Will I cheat? And all of those things. I know there are a lot of questions troubling your mind. Will just one person satisfy me throughout marriage? Like, I'm like, oh God, exams are approaching, you know. Will I be able to read and understand all of those things? No. With the help of the Holy Spirit, it helps you change your temperament and makes you, you know, a better person. And then I know that God will help each and every one of us. Jesus' name, yes. For the phlegmatics, you can take your temperament type to God. God, I'm very passive. I lack, you know, ambition. And I want to actually be an ambitious person. I want to, you know, have my goals. I want to become a more decisive person. You know, these phlegmatic people, when they come to campus, they're not able to, you know, have a balance for God or for Christ. So everything, there and then, when someone says, do this, they are already bending, you know, peer influence is so strong for them. But when you take it to the Holy Spirit, you have to work on each and every of our temperament types. And I know that we're going to be better persons. Now, before I end my podcast for tonight, for today, I'll talk about how to manage different temperaments.
Yes.
How can we manage different temperaments and find what's a bridge, a compromise?
First of all, I will say this, a very unachievable feat, yes, it looks as if it's unachievable to manage different temperaments, but no, we can always reach a compromise as long as the two parties involved are willing to understand each other and learn from each other. Yes, just have an open mind, be willing to understand the other person, understand how your temperament affects your life, become aware of your temperaments.
awareness is always the first step in cultivating change. Once you are aware of, okay, I'm a sanguine, I should try my possible best to allow others speak. I don't know if they have something very important to say. I should always, cloud the whole discussion. I should give the other person, an opportunity to air their opinions. So, for those who are very opinionated, who are wonderful set of choleric, they are very, very opinionated. So they should also have time to, you should allow them to know what to other temperament types to talk about their own opinions. Another managing different technique is what? Develop a more positive outlook on life. Yes. Set solid, achievable goals. Receive extra help online. Visit a therapist. While you are trying to learn more about.
Visit a therapist.
A therapist might not necessarily be a therapist.
Yeah, you had me right. It can be a friend,
a counselor. Your parents can be a therapist. You just talk to them. Someone will help you on your journey in understanding your personality traits. And in conclusion, the best therapist I can leave you with is the Holy Spirit. You can just talk to the Holy Spirit every day. Holy Spirit, this is what I'm facing. Like Eunice Oglami mentioned, the Holy Spirit is going to be there to help you and guide you.
Thank you very much for listening to today's podcast. I would love to hear from you, your opinions, your temperament type. You can leave it within the comment section. I'm excited.
Have a good night rest.